Concerns over COVID healthcare costs expose yet another racial divide. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Democrats and Republicans are still negotiating over another coronavirus relief bill. The extra $600 a week in supplemental unemployment benefits technically expires this Friday, but the way many states schedule those benefits, they've effectively already expired for many Americans. Meanwhile, even those with jobs are worried about paying for health care during the pandemic, and there's a big racial divide in the U.S. over COVID-19 cost concerns. According to new research, people of color are almost twice as likely as white people to be worried about how to pay for care if they get the coronavirus. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Gallup and the nonprofit West Health interviewed about 1,000 people for the study, asking, how concerned are you about paying for care if you get COVID-19? Gallup's Dan Witters is the senior researcher on the poll.
Among non-Hispanic whites, that level of concern is 32%, so not insignificant, but it jumps all the way up to 58% among non-whites.
Witter says respondents in households with annual incomes under $40,000 were three times more likely to be concerned than those with incomes over $100,000.
So now well over half of those folks in those lower income households are really worried. They're really concerned.
And Witter says many of them are African American or Hispanic. One other result of all this COVID cost worry, the study says non-white workers are about twice as likely as whites to stay in a job they don't like because they're afraid of losing health insurance during the pandemic. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
General Motors reports earnings this morning in about an hour. Fiat Chrysler and Ford are reporting in the next couple of days. We are going to learn a lot about just how bad the pandemic has been for the big automakers. The big three all had to close factories and halt production as people under stay-at-home orders stopped driving and buying cars. This could be one of the most difficult quarters for car makers in modern history. Jack Stewart has more.
The coronavirus pandemic is forcing some major changes on the auto industry, some short-term to cope with the immediate crisis, and others that will change the vehicle landscape permanently.
I would describe it as probably a roller coaster ride that the auto industry has been on. I would say that at the end of March, early April was definitely the darkest period.
Jessica Caldwell, executive director of Insights at Edmunds, says auto sales collapsed as people were told to stay at home. Automakers, trying to stay afloat, offered some of the best deals in decades, like 84 months interest-free financing.
We saw sales kind of come back because of the incentives. And to the point where now we're facing inventory shortages because the factories were closed down.
Despite those crests and troughs on the roller coaster of sales, the overarching picture is a steep drop. Sales for the whole year are forecast to be around 14 million vehicles, down from pre-pandemic estimates of 17 million. Automakers' losses will be staggering. Ford is forecast to report the biggest loss, around $5 billion for the second quarter. The start of 2020 was supposed to be a great time for Ford, with the launch of a new F-150 pickup, its bestseller, and an all-new version of a much-loved classic.
Introducing the Bronco family, built with adventure in mind, built to take Americans back into the wild.
The reveal of the new Bronco SUV had to happen online. Nick Shields, analyst at Third Bridge, an investment research firm, says that's far from ideal, but also unavoidable.
I mean, it's certainly risky. I think Ford feels the need to spend quite a bit more than they usually do on, you know, marketing and advertising costs.
SUVs and crossovers have been top sellers for a while, but the pandemic is likely to accelerate the death of the sedan. Rental companies were big customers, and they won't be replacing their fleets as quickly now that travel is still limited. Other trends? Online car shopping and home delivery look set to become more mainstream, and there's increased demand for used cars, says Garrett Nielsen, analyst at CFRA.
There's been so much damage to consumers with all the job losses and furloughs in the U.S. that we think consumers are going to favor used vehicle purchases for the foreseeable future.
He says that's good news for used car dealers and also car parts suppliers as people look to keep older vehicles running. It is less good for the automakers looking to sell new cars and trucks. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 1 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future up 25 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.591%. Meanwhile, Pfizer says it will charge other developed countries the same price for a coronavirus vaccine as it charges in the U.S. Pfizer stock is up 0.9% in pre-market trading.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Last year, the entire staff of the sports media website Deadspin quit after a dispute with their private equity bosses. Now, most of them are coming back under a new name, Defector, and a very different business model. Writers and editors will own and operate their new digital media company, and staffers will get paid as the money comes in. Marketplace's Andy Euler has this look at this very special business model.
Each founding Defector employee has a 5% stake in the business. Dave McKenna left Deadspin last year after management told the staff to stick to writing only about sports. He says he and his former colleagues didn't want to deal with outside investors anymore, so there aren't any.
We've been on that side of things, of big money. We didn't want to go back to that. Nobody did. And I think everyone is still scarred by that.
Defector will offer subscriptions at $8 a month, with an annual subscription available at a discount. Ultimately, what Defector's betting on is that people who read Deadspin and its regular features like Why Your Team Sucks will come back and pay for the content. Michael Butterworth at the University of Texas at Austin says it's not a crazy wager.
The folks who are writing are people who have cultivated their audiences over a long period of time, and I think that carries a lot of weight as they launch the site.
Defector Media will start a podcast next month and will begin publishing articles on its website in September. Writers and editors have said they simply hope to be able to pay themselves competitive salaries eventually. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.